Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan. I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up June 5th through the 7th in Texas. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Stephen. Stephen, how are you this morning?
I am blessed today and smiling. Thank you for asking.
Excellent. Well, we want to let you know that we do these three-day workshops for men around the country at various times throughout the year. It's our Gateway to Freedom workshop. It's a three-day workshop for men who are just wanting to overcome various sexually addictive patterns. This could be for a man who is maybe on the front end of a recovery journey where he's just, you know, the truth has just come out. He's really got a lot of things to work through. Or it could be a guy who's been on the road for a while and he's just stuck and he needs a catalyst. Either way, we are excited to have these men at these workshops and just incredible breakthroughs occur. And we see men's lives transformed at every single one of these workshops. So if you'd like to learn more about the Gateway to Freedom workshop, simply go to gatewaymen.com or call us at 210-822-8201. So, Stephen, I'm excited about what we're going to be talking about this week. We have one of our staff members up in the Portland area, Portland, Oregon, John Fort, who has written a book recently that's simply entitled Father-Son Accountability, Integrity Through Relationship. And it's a pretty unique book. I have never seen anything like this out there. And I think it's going to fill a gap right now that is pretty significant when it comes to father-son relationships regarding specific accountability for sexual integrity.
I have been blown away by this book. When we were at the men's retreat and you said, hey, here's a new book, I said, oh, great, another book. You know, sometimes if we're honest, we get sick of reading sexual books. I mean, this, you want to go read something else, please, this topic, you know. So it's like I'm sort of a little averse right now. Here's another guy that has a new angle on male sexuality. Wonderful. You know, we can tell everybody the solution, right? It's just surrender, okay? Just submit your will and surrender, and you're done, okay? It's easy. I'll tell you the answer to all the books, all right? But this is very fresh and refreshing and insightful. So I wrote a comment on this book. I want to read my comment to John and to the rest of the listeners. I read this book. I've just got two or three pages at the very end, but I have been so blown away. Because can you imagine if your dad had talked to you about sexuality? If you and your dad had a talk? Because the book is written by John Fort and his son Lucas Fort, a father and son team. And, oh my goodness, part of us have father wounds we're walking around with. You know, you go to retreats and you talk about woundedness and family of origin and what did they leave, and you were left in the dark and nobody talked. And, you know, I've always thought in my mind, you know, pastors must not have sexual struggles. They're just like so different than regular guys because they never talk about sexual struggles. I mean, they're men. They're sexual beings. They live in this sexualized culture, and they don't talk about sexual struggles. Now, this is all growing up. You know, it's like they're not like other guys because nobody talks about it. Well, you know, you got to go to a place where there's honest, insightful, challenging dialogue, and we hope that's what this radio program is to you. And I think John and Lucas are spot on in that they let us peek in. And so this is my comment. This book is honest, open, and insightful. It was wonderful to peek in on an intimate father-son relationship. Honesty on this topic frees men. John, you are a brave man to risk openly sharing with your son. And Lucas, you are a brave son for being honest with your dad. I hear such healing and wholeness and the very essence of manhood and bonding in this book. To God be the glory. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a powerful book. And so we're going to talk about comments from the book today. And I wrote another note to myself. I get it. I know what this book is about. It's about creating a safe place with a father and a son. I never had sons. You know, my fear is, what am I going to tell my son? And when am I going to tell him about sexuality and about stimulating yourself in porn and fantasy and masturbation? When am I going to tell him? You know, what can I tell him to make him victorious over this topic? Well, this book is sort of honest about it. Mm-hmm. It's a battle, and we're all fighting it. And if we can be honest and open and talk and do some accountability. And even when I say accountability, in a respectful way with a father and son, not like an older man to an older man, but to a father and a son, which he sort of flavors this accountability different.
Well, and I would say, you know, I appreciate you saying that about, you know, like creating a safe place for fathers and sons. And the thing I think we need to understand before we even go into the book is I want fathers to know out there, and sons too, but fathers especially, that a safe place doesn't mean that there won't be discomfort, awkwardness, even some fear within that safe place. But the issue is, I think it's still a safe place. And that's something, because I think sometimes fathers especially, they've assumed, man, if you're telling me this is a safe place, then they assume I'm not going to have any of these uncomfortable feelings. I'm not going to have any of these.
Oh, that's a good point.
And it's like,
yeah.
No.
It may be
very uncomfortable,
but it's still safe.
It's probably going to be extremely uncomfortable if this was not part of your history with your dad. And, for most of us, that is the case. It wasn't part of our history. And so there's going to be an awkwardness. There's going to be some fear. There's going to be discomfort. But it's like, to press through that for the richness of what you can develop with your son.
And really, I'm saying it's a safe place for the son.
For both of them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but the father has to create that for the son. The son cannot create that for the father,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So the father creates a safe place where he's going to be open and honest, and he creates a safe place for his son, which, think about what we've always said, we run away in secret as boys, in the dark, alone, and we're left there by ourselves. But what if your father said, hey, we can have an honest dialogue. You don't have to go into that dark place and make up your own beliefs and have a little fantasy and an escape and why don't we just talk about life being hard and stressful and the times you don't feel loved? And why don't we talk about it? It's a gift from a father to a son.
Yeah.
So there's like a timing question. And I think to myself, when I read this book, I think the son, Lucas, has become empowered by his father. Lucas has become powerful because his father said, let's talk about the scary things. Mm-hmm. If I leave this to you alone, you lose. You're going to be taken down. This is much too big for a boy. It needs a father leading a son. And when the father leads the son in the difficult place, the son becomes powerful. Because when his friends are all in the dark, when his friends don't know, the boy knows.
Now, I feel like we have to kind of set up the dads here because, first of all, dads, I hope you're still listening because this might already be kind of freaking you out a little bit. But I think this is...
You mean they got scared? They ran off? Or what,
yeah,
are you, what are you saying?
I mean, because you're talking about, hey, we're going to try to create a place for our sons to talk about scary things.
Yes.
And you know what that means, dads? You got to talk about scary things.
Yes.
And so what I want to do is I want to maybe embolden these dads, just let you know it is going to be a journey of courage.
Yes.
But think about it in the context that Stephen's talking about it here. Do you remember when you were a boy?
Right.
And you were scared and this topic of sexuality overwhelmed you, it confused you. You made mistakes, you were befuddled, and so think about your own experience as a son, as a boy, and now think about your own son and you're his dad. It's going to take courage. You're going to have to go into scary places, but this is for the sake of your son. I mean, I think you will gain benefit from it too, but dads, we need to step up and say, for the sake of my son, mm-hmm. I will go into scary places. I will bring him into a safe place where he can unpack all these things that may be hidden or that he's struggling with or that just the overwhelming nature of sexuality. And I want to be a rock for him, even though I've got my own issues, and we're going to talk about that a little bit in a minute. But you know what I mean? We want to just help dads have that courage. You're part of a brotherhood of dads.
Yes.
That all understand what this fear feels like, but we still need to face it with courage.
And I would say to those dads, if their knees are getting weak and they're about to buckle, hey, get the book.
Order the book.
Read the book and use the book as a template and let your son read the book and together talk about the book. So, you know, I was just thinking, if you leave, you know, sexuality to your son alone, it's almost like a shotgun. Here, just give your kid a shotgun and say, here, go play with this.
Yeah.
Something's going to get hurt. There's going to be stuff destroyed and broken and damaged. And it's like, nobody taught me how to use this. Or a chainsaw. Hey, go in the basement and play with the chainsaw. You know, it's just too powerful. The instructions are required. Direction is needed. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you have to get the book to read it, and it's like I'm pushing the book because I was wowed by it. But I wanted to go through and just take out some nuggets from the book and get your feedback on it. Mm-hmm. So he says, the level of testosterone in boys increases 600% during the first year of puberty. Can you imagine like a tsunami wave? You're one way, and then 600% increase in your testosterone happens in your body, and there's this awakening, but nobody told you, you know, and we didn't talk about this thing. How does that strike you?
Well, you know, one, remembering back to my own history, it did feel very overwhelming because I didn't know this was going on. But now as a dad, you know, I've got a 13-year-old son and the tsunami's hit. And it's like you can, you know, from this perspective, I can see it even more clearly. Mm. Just like that almost overnight transformation of just going from little boy to now he is just different.
Yeah.
You know? It is very... You know, it is an overwhelming thing to think of that chemical burst happens. And, you know, obviously it's essential for growing into manhood, changing from a boy to a man. But the fact that it just seems to happen overnight is just, it's overwhelming. And I think it can take dads off guard. Not only can it take the son off guard because he's not aware of it, he's not understanding what's going on. But dads, you know, you look up from your life one day and then you realize, where'd this little man come from, you know?
That's good. So I'm going to tell some stories. I'm not perfect. I don't have the stories exact. But he says in here, I told my son, you're going to be exposed to pornography. This was before it ever hit. Mm-hmm. And he says, you're going to start to want to look at naked women. And the guy and his son, if I remember right, forgive me, guys, if I got this wrong, but I'm trying to get the spirit of it right. But his son says, oh, no, nah, I'm not going to. Well, why are you saying that? That's gross, you know, Dad. I'm not going to do that.
It kind of took him off guard. He was freaked out a little bit.
Yeah, like, but then testosterone kicks in and sexuality rises. And then, hey, beautiful women, nakedness and beauty kind of cause a wow response. Mm-hmm. Well, if your dad, the fear of dads is if I tell you that, then you're going to go do it. Mm-hmm. So that fear keeps the dad from talking when in reality he prepared his son before it hit. The dad knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, to me, I think it's a trust-building thing with your son because your son comes back and goes, whether he says this out loud or not, in his mind he goes, you're right, Dad.
And he said it was hard to go to dad and tell mm-hmm. him. But I, you know, I had to go to dad and tell him because dad told me, so I had to go back. And do you hear that dialogue starting right there that the father was ahead of the son, passing back to the son the roadmap?
And that, I think, is part of the pattern of creating a safe place for your son is to be ahead of the curve. You're not trying to introduce material to your son. But I do think you are letting him know what's around the corner ahead so that when he does go around the corner, he's not absolutely taken aback and just overwhelmed. It's he goes around the corner, he sees what you told him was around the corner, and he goes, and then he can kind of run back to you and say, Dad, you're right. Now what do I do?
Although that's not going to be the response the boy's going to go, it's happened. He was right. Am I going to tell him now? When do I tell him? I've got to tell him, right? Because I know I fell in the hole, right? He told me there's a hole and I fell in the hole. Now I got to go tell him I fell in the hole, Dad. I mean, but that's that trust, right? Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I always had this fear that if you tell a boy something, then you're going to cause it. And I don't know if this makes sense or not, but in counseling, you know, I've always sort of been scared to ask someone if they were suicidal. But people mm-hmm. that train on suicide say, if you ask somebody, you know, that's real depressed, are you going to hurt yourself? If they're going to hurt themselves, they'll probably go, yeah, I've been thinking about it. But if they're not going to hurt themselves, they're going to go, that's stupid. Are you kidding me? I have a kid to live for and I have a life. And mm-hmm. are you stupid? So if it's, you're not going to put it there. It's either there or it's not there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so the fear was if I say it, I might plant this seed. And so do you understand the parallel between sexual life? If we say you're going to see pornography and you're going to be attracted to females. Oh no, we might be starting to cause, probably not. You're probably going to get gross, Dad. That's gross.
Mm-hmm. And if they've already kind of transitioned into that place,
yes,
you're going to get. You might get that sheepish. Yeah, you're right. You know, I mean,
yeah, kind of, yeah. Don't look up. Don't.
I've been kind of struggling or whatever.
Yeah. You know. Okay, so we're just going through ideas to give you a flavor of this book because he says you got to work on three areas. There's this stuff you got to move away from. There's stuff you got to move towards. And then there's this unmet relationship need. Mm-hmm. So relationship, let's talk about, you got to move away from stuff. You got to move towards some stuff. And you got to keep your relationship strong.
Well, right? And I love the simplicity of this, but it's still very important. If you think about it in terms of, let's move it into the realm of your physical health, okay? If you want to be healthy physically, you have to move away from unhealthy foods, right? I mean, continuing to ingest greasy hamburgers and
right.
sodas and all this kind of stuff. But that's not enough. You can't just like stop eating unhealthy food. You have to then also move toward healthy food. You have to start ingesting healthy food. Now, as far as it goes with, I think the, and I even believe that even with your physical health, the encouragement that you need from relationships and maybe us, even in that regard, it's helpful to have some people in your life that are holding you accountable and that are encouraging you and saying, hey, how'd you do today on?
Yeah, but let's go with the food example, right? Because you're saying I have to move away from bad food. I have to move towards healthy food and the gym. Mm-hmm. And I might need a coach at the gym to do some training on how to use the weights. And I got to have a relationship with somebody that's either a dietitian or an exercise expert.
Right. Yeah.
And so then the same is true in the sexual arena.
And the same is true there. We've got to move away from the unhealthy. Now, here's the thing where it's where it gets a little more challenging, I think, with the sexual thing is because many of us don't have the understanding. Many people don't have the understanding with what healthy sexuality is, as well as they might have an understanding of what healthy diet is, you know? And so in some regards, think about the healthy diet. Well, somebody has to instruct you on what is healthy. This is why I think it's important that when dads are taking their sons on this journey of moving away from what is unhealthy toward what is good, you've got to know what is good. You've got to know what is unhealthy. And I think to me, the best way to know what is unhealthy is simply to really study and understand what is good, what is healthy. And then you can recognize more easily what is not.
And are you saying that in a sexual context?
Yes.
So give me an idea of what's really healthy then. What are you saying?
We look at biblical sexuality.
Okay.
Okay, so that means you are looking at only what is pure, not even a hint of sexual morality. You are not engaged in adulterous behavior.
Got it.
Marriage is the context for healthy expression of sexuality. And mm-hmm. so when you understand what all of that is, then you realize, well, pornography is clearly outside of that. Definitely sexual relationships outside of marriage are outside of that. You know, lustful thoughts and fantasies are outside of that.
All the healthy sexual
And so you move away from those things as you move toward
the healthy.
What is the healthy sexuality?
Yeah. So he goes on to say that it talks about the power of relationships. He says the number one way to break free from the power of lust is to engage in more and deeper relationships. He not only says that, he does that in this book, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
A lot of people will tell you what to do, but he and his son walk through a deeper relationship right before your eyes in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes on to say, what we really want is to feel truly known and loved. But that doesn't come from porn. That doesn't come from fantasy escaping. That comes from engaging others.
And see, this is the epiphany that I think dads need to have. And well, since this is really father-son accountability, but still I think anybody in general is... There's this false notion out there when it comes to sexuality that the best way to help your kids is to lock them down and lock them up.
Mm.
So lock down all the devices, lock them in the room, punish them, make sure there's no... And you know what that does? That isolates them further from relationship.
Mm.
And if John is right here, and I believe he is, that relationship is the most key element to living a life of sexual integrity, then locking them up and locking them out is not helping them. You know, simply, you know, shutting down their devices, putting them in their room, punishing them.
Right, because they
you're
still
sending
go
them
there.
Further away from relationship.
Oh, I see what you're
Instead
saying.
Of saying, no, come into this room with me. Let's talk about all the messiness, all the difficulties, all the failures you've had. The movement you want your child to have is toward you.
Yeah.
And the movement you need to have toward your is toward your child. And so we need to kind of shift our thinking about how we're going to help our kids live pure, you know, as dads. It's not put them in the room and take away all their devices. It's saying, no, you come close to me, I'm going to come close to you, and we're going to have a conversation about this.
Because in that relationship, there's healing and bonding, right? Because if you put me in the other room, I still have my heart and my fantasy and my mind.
And I still got all my confusion and all my feeling overwhelmed, and I don't know what to do. And
so this is good because he plays on this. He says the biggest need men and boys have involves revolves around being validated as men. Right? And I've often thought that. Do you want to know how to tear down a man? Call him a wimp. Call him a boy. You're not a man, you're a boy. You know, men validate men. And he makes this statement, women cannot validate men as men.
Right.
Now, they can validate them as husbands.
Yeah.
But a man is required to validate a man as a man. Mm-hmm. Right? Because only a man can determine that you're a man, call you a man, treat you like a man. And if I want to bring you to your knees, I just tell you, you're still a boy. You're a wimp. You're a weenie. You're not a man, mm-hmm. right?
Can I share a little bit of what I've started doing with my own son? He turned 13 earlier this year, and so I had been prepping him for the previous year that when he turned 13, I would start treating him as a man,
well, like a Jewish tradition,
as
right?
a boy. And part of it is because I said, listen, I'm going to treat you in regards to how the majority of world history has seen children. And that is, it's only been barely 100 years that we've even had the term teenager. Hmm. It's been a whole newly created age group to, I think, allow children to be children longer than they need to be children. But anyway, that's for a whole nother discussion.
No, that's a great discussion, so, though.
For most of world history, there's only been children and adults. You don't have this in-between childhood of teenager. And so usually between the ages of 13 and 15, historically in world history, that's the age in which transition starts to happen toward adulthood. So I said, Ethan, when you turn 13, my conversation toward you, the way I'm going to talk to you is I'm considering you in your beginning of manhood. And so we have what we call man meetings, where it's like, we're going to talk about man things, and I'm going to start teaching you what it means to be a man. And what I've seen in just the short time we've been doing this, I've just seen a difference in the sense of how he responds. And I think it's what you're talking about here. Only men can validate a boy into manhood,
mm-hmm.
in the sense of saying, I see in you the qualities of a manhood. I'm going to praise the qualities in you that exhibit true manhood, and I'm going to call you out as a man. I'm going to hold you accountable as a man. And I think it's really important. And dads, this is our primary responsibility with our sons.
That's good.
Is to call them into that manhood.
But see, you give your son a vision, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like what Jesus did. We were sinners, and he called us saints, right? He gave us a vision that we could be in paradise in heaven with him, mm-hmm. right? You're giving your son a vision that's bigger than he is. And by giving him that vision, you create a structure for him, right?
Yeah.
And we need someone bigger than us to do that.
And I think also what it does is it creates a challenge in the right direction for our sons.
Yeah.
There's too much passivity in men as it is, and I think this as dads, if dads are passive toward their son, you know what? You're just letting your son go the path of least resistance, which is going to be wherever his urges take him. And guess what? 600% increase in testosterone, right? So where his urge is going to take him? You got to set a vision and validate him as a man into true manhood. And then that, I think, is going to take him on his way.
So I guess the challenge so far is we just start to work our way through the first few pages. Let's do another show on this book.
Absolutely.
But we're back to relationship, right? Needing one another and moving towards God and good and away from that which breaks us, shames us, makes us smaller.
If you'd like to get a copy of the book, you can simply go to pureliferesources.com. That's our online store, pureliferesources.com. And the name of the book is Father, Son, Accountability by John and Lucas Fort. Folks, we're glad you've been with us here this week, and we look forward to having you back here next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.